and welcome to Media News. Media News aims to be an authentic voice bringing you real, truthful stories from the Middle East, with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored, or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. On the 19th of July, it was the 10th anniversary of the Rojava Revolution. So many political and social gains have been made in the north and the northeast of Syria during these 10 years and are still being made with the non-stop work of the Autonomous Administration of North and East Syria to secure the gains made in the last 10 years, despite the defensive and heroic war that had to be waged against ISIS at an enormous sacrifice of over 12,000, mostly young people, and the now constant drone and artillery attacks and bombardments by Turkey and their affiliated jihadist gangs, as Rojava faces yet another existential threat and challenge. Women and internationalists have been a central part of what is also known as the Women's Revolution, and I am very happy and honored to be joined today from the northeast of Syria, or Rojava, by Berchem, who is an internationalist member of the Women's Defense Units, or YPJ. Welcome, Berchem, to Media News.
Hello, everybody. I'm really happy to assist this interview, and I give very warm greetings from Rojava, from northern East Syria, to everybody.
Thank you very much, Berchem. And equally, everybody would give their warm greetings to you too. So can we please begin, perhaps, by inviting you to tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and what inspired you personally to travel to Rojava, roughly how long you've been there, and a little bit about your own experience and observations while you have been there.
Sure. So yeah, I would introduce myself a little bit. As you said already, my name is Berchem. I came from eastern part from the Europe. I have been here in Rojava already since around 4 years. And I came to Rojava in the first moment. It was like a result of a collective process. We already, before when I was living in Europe, I was mostly living in the southern part of Europe, especially in Catalonia also, and like being organized there. So let's say it was like a collective process of people who already, kind of was connected with different ideas and were like involved in this different struggle with women organization, with like social organization, and so on. So for us, it was like a process when we start to know about the Rojava Revolution. We felt like definitely there was a lot of curiosity, but somehow like an internationalist duty to come like this kind of historic events, no, like before, because for us also like there's a, of course there were like two like main points of like or inspiration why we decided finally like a group of friends from different also backgrounds from different countries like us internationalists that we would come and join the Rojava Revolution. So one would be like definitely like the project of a democratic confederalism.
Yes, yeah, we understand.
English, it's not my.
No, it's fine. It's
my native language, so definitely I can have some small difficulties. So yeah, that was one, and of course, other that was like the like as it's called, no, like the women revolution, or like the fact that the women are like the leading factor of the revolution. So basically, like it was for us like before we knew the Rojava Revolution, it was like even a dream, you would say. Like you would like imagine really you would live in the reality where it would be no state. Is it possible? How would people organize? How would the society would respond to it? It was a lot of curiosity. And also I said we were thinking as a historical even we should come and join the revolution. So that was my motivation, let's say.
Fantastic. So perhaps you talked about the women's revolution there. So perhaps you would like to share what you have witnessed specifically in terms of the women's revolution in Rojava Great gains, we know, have been made for women generally, haven't they? But what can you tell us about what you have personally witnessed and observed?
Yeah, definitely. So here, I mean, here in Rojava, let's say there's so many different also, like, let's see, sphere. Now I'm a member of YPG, YPG, but during these 4 years, let's say, I have been taking part in different, let's say, in different work, in different structures, we would say like in social structure, or like being more also with the people, with the society, in different institutions, like taking part of, because of course it's not only about military, it's a lot about the, let's say, the really about the social revolution, and exactly about like the how the democratic confederalism can be applied in the real life. So for sure, for me, the experience here, especially in the beginning, being working in different organization, like in the social structure, it was very amazing experience to see, after, now it has been 10 years, as you said, that the revolution start, but the huge change, for example, concretely about the women topic, the huge development for the women. What did it mean for all the women here, and for girls and women, and for the society, like this kind of change, and how actually now, if we look at it, like how far actually in so many different spheres, let's say, it's coming. Like, of course, we have to speak in the beginning, about the whole system, know how it's working, because all. The fact itself that the system is based on really progressive democracy, and direct democracy, which is based on this commune system, where there is this this system of the co-chairing, where all the women take part in the leading position in many different spheres, like in the social, in the political, and of course in the military also already. It has been 10 years, then the YPG forces also, as a self-defense forces, has been built. So yeah, there is so many story to talk about. I can share from my side, actually I spent more than 1 year in Kobane. I was working together with a Congress Star, and so Congress Star, it's the umbrella organization of the women organization, which also work in so many different, also in the self-defense, in the education, in the art, so it's going in all sphere of society, where totally women now are taking very important and the leading role in many spheres, not only as I said in the military side, but also
political society and
social society. Yeah, definitely. And if you look at it, of course, it's not something which, if we speak about very strong and a patriarchal mentality and patriarchy, reality which we live since 10,000 years already, it's changes which of course will be not done in one day, and it's still we would say that it's still a process, no? The revolution would be success, and then the mindset, the patriarchal mindset would change, but still and it for sure it will also take time, but for sure if you would now the women they have their own organization, only the fact that they have so many no mixed, or here we say Hweser spaces, that they actually can take care about the concrete topic without the intervention of the man, in all. Yeah, so actually there's a lot of to share. I don't know if you have some concrete also question, I can be answering them also.
Maybe if I put it like this, I mean, was there one time during your time in Kobani working with Congress Star that stands out for you as a moment of inspiration?
Oh, definitely. I mean, You know, for me, if I would like say from the like the personal experience, it was like in the beginning I was also like intending, let's say, to come like for 1 year to get like to gain some like experience, to get to know, you know, and like then we had like the intention to come back like after 1 year and like continue with our work in our localities. But after like really knowing the society, knowing the reality and seeing like how, you know, how can be really inspiring and how much work also have been done, how much has been built and how much like, let's say for me, like a hope which give it like, what does it mean like really to be in definitely in this like revolutionary process when like let's say by the system itself, like by the ideology itself, it's like secure like the, for example, the gender equality, and not only, of course.
Okay, amazing. Berjem, let's then move on to kind of more depressing in some ways, but only last week, on the 22nd of July, three Kurdish women, Jiyan Tulhildan, Roj Khabur, and Barin Botan, were traveling in a car, having just attended a forum, a meeting that was organized to discuss, amongst other topics, the advances made by women in Rojava, when their car was struck by a Turkish drone, and the three women died or were martyred, as you say, in the Kurdish movement. An extrajudicial execution carried out by the Turkish state against all international laws and treaties, reminding us of a similar targeted assassination of three other Kurdish women, including Sakine Jansız, Fidan Doğan, and Leyla Söylemez, in Paris on the 9th of January 2013. Berjem, would you like to perhaps tell our listeners and myself something about these three women, Jiyan, Roj, and Barin? I believe that they had all fought heroically on the front lines against ISIS. But what can you tell our listeners about their lives and their contributions to the women's revolution in Rojava?
Yeah, definitely. I would love to share with you some like for me the honor also like when you ask when I have been asked for this interview, it was a bit difficult for me because for me it's like also really a big honor to be able to like speak about those friends, because as you said, they are like who were martyred these 3 days, because they has been the inspiration and the shining star for already many people and like and many women already. So, and they already took like a very important like, let's say, leading position in Rojava revolution. So I would love to share my own experience to meeting them, and also let's say I had before then this interview I had to speak with friends also who know them personally longer time, or like more like pick up, like collect some more stories. So I would love to share some of them. Of course, it's before to start, definitely there is a, we can say you were already mentioning this like 2013 the assassination of Heval Sara, Rojbin, and Ronahi. And let's say like also again like this three like women have been killed, and it's not also like the second one, because if we look last only few years here in Rojava, it's already third time and fourth time, let's say, that three women like this let's say leaders and women have been assassinated. There has been also in Kobane in 2019, that three women also have been assassinated. They were like the leaders of Kongre Astar. There have been three other women like few months ago also. They were YPJ members against stroke by drone in Kobane. And now, of course, are like three friends. And after this martyrdom also of three friends, there has been again in few days ago stroke against three women who were in the working, in the internal Assange force, or Assange forces. So just to give this update, and then I could start. If you have some concrete question, and I could start a bit with the stories of our friends.
No, please, just go ahead, Berjam, and just let us know what you've, share your own experiences and also some of the information that you say that you've gathered.
Yeah, so as I said, I was Tivers Hevaljian. I met her personally. I didn't have the opportunity to share with her, but she was Yepeshe commander and also Yat commander. So in different occasions, actually, we had times to meet and to greet each other and so on. But I couldn't I didn't have the personal experience to live together. I also met Heval Roche. She was my she was the general commander in the academy of in the Maletalak academy, which I have went through during 6 months. So yeah, I can share. I will start, as I say, I will start this. Hevaljian, and through this, I would like to also. I think it will be nice because it will be a way how to share also more closely about the Rojava Revolution, because Hevaljian she has been she went through all these 10 years of the Rojava Revolution, even before she she would be already in the 90s, a woman who decide to liberate themselves and start to struggle for their identity, start to resist against the multiple oppression, and she went to the Free Mountains of Kurdistan and joined the guerrilla forces. So after that, Hevaljian actually, when 2014, already before when the attack on the Rojava Revolution, especially by the Daesh, happened, she also was one of those who take leading roles in this war. She has been here since the beginning of the revolution and work organizing with people, formation people, and actually also formatting completely the people defense forces like YPG, and also the formation of the women protection units. So really, let's say, this really hard work and struggle, she was I would say, with the person Hevaljian, actually the Rojava Revolution arrived to this point, which is right now. So she had by herself a huge knowledge and experience about the revolution. And one of her characteristics, she actually was really in love with the beauty of the free life and the experience she also gained in the mountains. So warmness and the way she was the one who also during these many years who has also trained hundreds of young women to become fighters and to become strong and to brave and to guarantee the freedom for their homeland. So it's of course, let again to say that it's a huge loss for whole movement and for whole world, I would say, because this kind of experience and this kind of life story, I think we have everybody what we can learn a lot from. So with women Shahid Jian, really the Rojava Revolution, I would say that completed its own 10 years. And of course, she played a very, very important role. When I talk with friends about her personality and how she was and so on, so most things resonates, of course, they were always saying her selfishness approach, and like the, let's say, I don't know, we have a word in Kurdish which say fedekar, which is, you could translate it, it's like being like this very like up to self-sacrifice herself to and give huge effort to the revolution. Like like the most notable characteristic I was friends were sharing with me was like she had very very like a big love for the woman struggle and for the like for the free for the free life. She always take care a lot about women and about like their liberation, because of course I think also in the beginning when she lived in the mountains, she had to also struggle with the patriarchal reality, and she understand like what does it mean for the women to become strong and brave, and what like to mean like the meaning of the oppression of the women, and also the meaning of the own liberation. So she took very much care, especially about the women, like, and the women friends. So even I think like even you could, when I met her, also you could also feel this like from her a lot. Like even if you like didn't know her so much, or like she didn't know and you, or she wouldn't know, you still have this like with her warmness, and like this you could feel that. Like this like common base of the struggle, this common base of like of the like what's connect us as a women and as a people who struggle for like let's say free life and like own liberation. They were a different story which people was saying about Hevarjian. I think in generally her approach were also very, let's say, like she were able to really deepen in the ideology, and she was really like an example for many women. This like her like a human and very like a warm approach. She was really like this. We use this word which is called, which is like a Pesheng, which mean like a vanguard somehow, but like really this like example which you can somehow follow and which you can. So yeah, there was a lot of I would say also my own experience, like from this year actually she had there was a conference of YPJ also, like the third conference of the YPJ this year, and took place some months ago, and of course Hevarjian was there also, and like so there was some like organization problem, and we were like as international friends we were like we got late the announcement of the conference, so in the beginning we haven't come like for the opening, and so, and it was actually the Hevarjian who come to like a responsible friends, and she was really somehow offended, and she was saying like, where are the international women? Like it's YPJ conference. They like, it's kind of like, it cannot be that they are not here. They are like the member of the YPJ. So she had like really actually, let's say a big, let's say wide understanding what's mean like a women world struggle, and like really, something which like also her ideological knowledge, and like the, it was very deep. So I think she was very, very strong woman, and very this example, let's say. And I think it's important. It's very interesting for me, and I think for everybody who would have the opportunity to actually get to know like her and her life story. I think also in the like in internet there are like traduction, also like some translation of her speeches, and like there's a story also of her life which I highly recommend to watch, because I think it's definitely like here the we say like Nirha Sheridan, like the value of the like martyrs friends is the it's those who like show us the way. And I would say like, why? Because like, of course, the people who gave her like gave their like whole life to the struggle and have a lot of big hope to like to live a free life, we have a lot of, we can know their story, and we can learn from there a lot. So as I know also Shahid Jian, even many different she would went through many different difficulty, but she would never like, let's say, let that it would somehow like obstacle her. Like she would always convert this difficulty to the struggle and become stronger from it. So it's also very, I think, example what we need to take for in our lives and in our like past to follow, because of course many times we go through, I think in generally, like here it's one thing which you can learn a lot, like compare, for example, for me as a like a personal experience, like it changed a lot, like I mean my whole like vision for the life and for the struggle, and I actually understand what does it mean to give your whole life to the struggle and also to the people. And it's like definitely like this approach that like you need to continue and you need to like follow even anything happen. Like I think it's one of the like the biggest legacy what we have also from Eva Jian. I think she's like a person which really really enlightened somehow the past of all women, like and have been like an example. I mean, you know, I think it's a long life story, and of course I don't know if I mention it in the beginning, but of course she also in the building process, she was also like taking part in many military operation and like of course fought against Daesh in 2014 and was like take part in many different operation. So yeah, I mean that's what I could maybe say about Eva Jian. I don't know if you have other question. I could also share some, I don't know how we are with the time, I could share also more stuff, because it's of course I'm looking now, maybe I'm talking too much, but it's very difficult like to
Berchem. I know, yeah, honestly, I mean I would obviously love to listen to you, you know, for hours and hours, but unfortunately we do have some time constraints that are working against us. But thank you ever so much for those beautiful and warm words about Hevel Jian. So I think if we can just perhaps come to a conclusion by just looking at the present situation. The Syrian Democratic Forces General Commander Muslim Abdi said on Thursday that Turkey's increasing drone strikes in north and northeast Syria aim to destabilize security in the region, and that Turkish drones have targeted 9 SDF fighters and 4 members of the region's internal security forces, or ASAYAŞ, as we know, just a few days ago, as well as 13 civilians in just the last 10 days alone. Turkey has also increased the frequency of artillery shelling and drone strikes in the region after the Tehran summit, despite failing to obtain a green light by Iran and Russia for its planned full-scale invasion of the region. The YPJ International, in their statement of a few days ago, says, I noted that you said in that statement that many people in solidarity networks and supporters outside of Rojava seem to be waiting, as you said, for a kind of day X, you know, like a specific day in which to begin to organize and react to what is seen as an expected full-scale Turkish invasion. But you say that this is not the right way to approach it. Can you tell us why and what you think should be done in response to the invasion threat from international networks, and a little bit about how the situation is at present?
Yes, I can have some, I can talk about this. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's in general, like we are in the war all the time. Like it's not that, like as you mentioned about our, like the statement, like especially let's say after the Afrin invasion in 2018, let's say like the constant attacks on the all area of like the of Rojava of haven't stopped ever. Like they has been like systematically let's say different attacks, like by a drone strike, also by shelling in different places. It's like something which like never stop. I think it's especially like I mean, it's even go, let's say, wider. No, if we look in generally, like on the situation, so and like how the Turkish state actually are doing their like genocide politics on in all parts of Kurdistan, let's say. So we would also for sure like could talk about a long time, but in it's like it's a whole strategy of Turkish state of really like to put in pressure and to let's say to annihilate to annihilate the Kurdish people and like the free the Kurdish free movement also and all the achievements or not of the of course also of the Rojava revolution, but also like if you look like the strategy in the northern Kurdistan in the prison, you know, there is a lot of pressure, there's a lot of torture. Like if you look in the situation in the South Kurdistan, like the Turkey are using chemical weapons about the young.
Unfortunately, I think, as does happen sometimes, we seem to have lost connection with Berjam in Rojava.
Hello.
Oh, Berjam, you're back.
Okay, yes.
Yes, so, yes, continue.
Yes, so I don't know where, like, the last, I wonder...
I think we're coming to the end of the interview. Perhaps you could just conclude by, I mean, I was just saying when you left us to our listeners that I hope that they like me would hear the energy and the determination and the commitments that energy that we feel from you and your passion and your the words that you have shared with us. I was just hoping that our listeners would take some of that. But perhaps you could just finish by telling us what we can do in Europe and outside of Rojava to support Rojava at this particular dangerous moment.
Okay, yes. I see that the time is really limiting, in somehow. So yeah, I would really like to to kind of connect with the last what I was saying. Like it's definitely we have to realize, I think that like your program, it's like intention to this, because like of course like also the Turkish state as a member of like NATO and like the let's say the like the constant attacks on Rojava and all four parts of Kurdistan, like, and the genocide policies are really, really, let's say, like, there are no attention to it. So I think it's very important for all of us who are like the sympathizers and like who want to kind of like give a hand to this human cause and to this like very important let's say struggle for free life and for to give a hand to the revolution and to the Kurdish people and to all the people and like all the nations and all the different people who already take part in this amazing revolution. I would definitely call everybody to to do anything what they can to drive attention to these attacks and like to show to the people actually what's happening to us, to show the reality of this revolution, to show this achievement of this revolution, to show the base, actually what does it mean to building this alternative system, what does it mean for the legacy of all those women and all those thousands of martyrs which gave their life to the revolution and the ideology, of course, in it's the seeds of all of this is definitely the philosophy and the ideology of Abdullah Öcalan, who is now being more than 23 years being in the isolation in the Imrali Island, which is put it there by the Turkish state. So definitely those are the questions which we need to put in our agenda, which we need to write attention to it. So I would definitely say this in one side, and that definitely invite people to to also to get more like the philosophy of Abdullah Öcalan, to get more also like all this like the knowledge and the experience which has been gained here in Rojava and in generally with the Kurdish people, and to kind of like take the responsibility to also spread it and to also like yeah, like to connect it, because actually definitely we can say that we are struggling for one aim, and to it's very important to support each other in the international way, and like to like kind of to break this wall which can seems that there is like that could be like totally different reality like somewhere in the Middle East, but definitely we need to like somehow break these walls which also the states are start trying to like build between us, and like spread the ideas together.
Najam, internationalist member of the YPJ, thank you so much for joining us today from Rojava to talk to us here at Media News and share your insightful and beautiful thoughts with such determination, energy and commitment. Good luck with all your work, and we send our love and solidarity to you and all the friends who are working to defend the Rojava revolution. Serkeftin, goodbye, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you also everybody for listening, and again Serkeftin for you also, and take care.
Thank you, Berjan. Serkeftin.